So when you say to someone, and certainly when I say to someone, look, have a break, no one wants a break. But do you know what's happening in your brain when you actually take time out, when you do go out for that walk, when you have a pause for a few minutes? You're accessing this new part of your brain. It's something called the default mode network. It's where your creativity sits, and you can only access it when you stop doing. So instead of thinking, I'm not doing anything now, I'm wasting my time, I haven't got time to waste, switch your thinking.
Hello, and welcome to the Mind Your Leadership podcast. Today, I will speak with Dr. Alka Patel. Alka is a lifestyle doctor, coach, and a general practitioner focused on promoting health as a skill. She empowers individuals and businesses to make compassionate lifestyle changes for happy, healthy living and workplace wellness. She helps people connect with their DNA to discover themselves and uses cutting-edge techniques to link lifestyle changes with biometrics. Dr. Patel hosts the Lifestyle First podcast, and she is a sought-after media guest and a speaker on health and wellness around the world. So I'm excited to speak about how to create your own lifestyle, what does it mean, and how it can impact our well-being, the day-to-day, and our reality, and creating a thriving life for ourselves and those around us. I believe it goes together. So stay with us. Dr. Alka, thank you for joining.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to our conversation, Karen. Thank you.
Me too. So, Alka, I will be happy, first of all, to hear from you about a pivotal moment in your life that you felt that changed your course or impacted you in a way to go your own path.
Oh, that's an interesting question. We often think about pivotal moments, don't we? And we think there's always going to be one in our life. But I think life is the pivot of so many moments that come together and help us to kind of choose our direction. I think maybe for me, there were probably two or three very key moments, which I didn't realize at the time. One was the passing of my father, and this was now almost 20 years ago. And he sadly passed away on an operating table, undergoing an operation, which it turned out he didn't need. So there was a big misdiagnosis associated with his passing. And he died at the hands of a surgeon who was, well, he was tired. His knife slipped. He was exhausted. He was jet lagged. And what I realized at the time, reflecting on that time, was that, you know, that idea of what you just said, taking care of yourself, thinking about your lifestyle, thinking about how you make your decisions when you're trying to do something for other people all the time, you forget about yourself. So I think in his attempt to take care of my father, he forgot that he needed to be at his best, and a really sad one for us. And that obviously stuck with me for a long while. And I tried to get through my grief by keeping very busy. And again, you know, many of us who've got leadership roles or are running our own businesses or have an entrepreneurial life, we love this getting busy. We get really fired up and passionate about doing more and more and more. And of course, for me, that ended in a bit of a disaster because I got very, very burnt out and hospitalized as a result of just go, 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 which we're not really designed to. And again, for me, it was very close to the end of my life. And another pivotal moment about, you know, what am I doing for me to take care of me so I can take care of other people. And I reflected on my career after this and realized that I'd become what I now call a drug pusher doctor. A little bit scary saying that out loud to thousands of people who are listening today, that I've been a drug pusher, but very much from that, you know, pharmaceutical model of what we're taught at medical school. We're taught as doctors is here's a drug, have a fix. This is what we give to our patients. And I really realized that that is not how health needs to look. That is not what taking care of yourself looks like. That is not what optimizing your potential is like. So I took a big pivot. I left the comfort of my partnership and my business and the income that came with it, and took a leap into really where I am now, which is very much being driven by the world that we live in. We're living in an incredible world of technology and access to data and information, and we really need to utilize this to our best advantage. So that's what I now help people do, is zone in on longevity, living really long, reversing aging, using technology, data, information to do that and making health fun. Like, I want us to all be healthy and have fun and enjoy the life that we have because of the health that we prioritize. So Yeah, thank you for asking me that. It's taken me back a number of years, but yeah, important to get the context, I think.
Thank you for sharing. You know, actually, when you spoke, I had goosebumps because it really touched me. And I think you said so crucial things because, you know, it's really interesting because it resonates with a few conversations I had this week with colleagues of mine that they told me that they really feel burnout and stress and fatigue. And they told me that they're working like this for a long time. And only now they decided to listen to themselves and push back a little bit and to listen to themselves and go do yoga and rest a little bit and take time off. Both of my colleagues, I told them, you know, nobody will give you the permission to do it. You need to have the courage to listen to yourself and put boundaries. And it starts with ourselves, right? So you talk about lifestyle, and I can imagine that if I don't listen to myself and don't have compassion toward myself, I won't be able to be compassionate toward any other person, right? Because I don't know what is it. Because as you said, the doctor that was taking care of your father, actually, he didn't take care of him. So it had such a significant impact. What do you say about it?
Oh, for sure. And I think you're absolutely right. The trouble is that we self-sabotage. We don't want to listen. We don't want to hear our signals because, you know, you don't just wake up one day and have burnout. It's not just one day that stress arrives. It's been there. It starts as quiet whispers. Your body is telling you, hey, get out in the sunshine. Hey, go to sleep. Hey, get off your emails. Hey, chill out with your family. And you don't do it. And so you ignore it and you ignore it and you ignore it. And then it's got to arrive, you know, big, loud shout. Hello, cancer, I'm here. Right? Hello, diabetes, I've arrived. But if you paid attention, and that's what we have to do. We have to use our intuition. You know, as human beings, we are incredibly intuitive. We have innate intuition. We've got this whole sensory system in our body giving us signals all the time. So the important thing is not to let the busyness of life take you away from just tuning in. And this also, Perrin, is also now why I like to start to use technology a bit, because what that does is it almost creates this buzz around listening to ourselves, watching ourselves. So many people now have smartwatches, right? Giving them information about things like their heart rate or their sleep information. And the moment you realize someone's watching you, well, actually, you're watching yourself through your data and your devices and your smartwatches and incredible other things you can use, you start to pay attention more. You start to notice these numbers. I mean, where here in the UK, suddenly during COVID, for example, everyone started walking, right? Everyone during the pandemic was doing their 10,000 steps, not because they didn't know they should walk more, but suddenly they're all going, oh, 10,000 steps, let's do it. Now we've got the time and the space to tune in. And let's do that even when life is busy, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a crucial element because, as you said, as entrepreneurs and leaders, I think part of us, a lot of us like to be busy, to be active, to do stuff and to achieve goals and clients, etc. But at the end of the day, we really need to learn to balance the ability, as you say, to pause, and not that life will stop us. You know, I always tell my clients, my people I work with, be mindful to yourself. Be mindful to what you feel, to the sensations, to whatever comes, because at the end of the day, why, if we'll walk out of listening deeply to ourselves and our employees and our customers, we can be even more efficient and more accurate and fine-tune our path and our way. But if we don't listen and we run like the dogs after the tails, we won't achieve anything, right? But we only will make ourselves tired and burn out, and life will stop us at the end. So this is why it's so crucial to be mindful and to really practice the ability to listen. But I do want to pause on it and say that, first of all, listen to yourself, because we really, it starts within ourselves. And as you said, we can use technology to help us tune in, to help us listen to our body, to our sensations, to our feeling, and to see how we can work with them instead of pushing them down and continue business as usual, but don't have any energy to continue on.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because again, you know, you are an entrepreneur, a leader, a business owner yourself, and you have talked to so many, and none of us really want to stop. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you ask a business leader to go and be mindful and sit under a tree and do yoga for an hour a day, they're not going to do it. You're not going to do it, right? So you have to somehow use this passion and use this fire to actually be really purposeful about what you're doing. So when you say to someone, and certainly when I say to someone, look, have a break, no one wants a break. But do you know what's happening in your brain when you actually take time out, when you do go out for that walk, when you have a pause for a few minutes? You're accessing this new part of your brain. It's something called the default mode network. It's where your creativity sits, and you can only access it when you stop doing. So instead of thinking, I'm not doing anything now, I'm wasting my time, I haven't got time to waste, switch your thinking. I'm not wasting time. I'm doing nothing on purpose so I can tap in to what I'm capable of. That new solution that you're looking for, that new idea that you're thinking of, that innovation you're hoping for, it's there. Stop, tap into your default mode network on purpose. Right? You're not doing nothing, you're doing something, but purposefully, and there you go. So I think we just have to switch some of this language around, especially when we're talking to excited, ambitious, go-getter people like us, right? It's just, let's change this language. This is not just being mindful and doing yoga. This is being proactive about your health, getting into that driving seat, taking control, because that is what entrepreneurs love to do.
I love what you say, because usually when I facilitate my courses, you know, so I tell them also the ability to pause, create this epiphany, right? So once sometimes we feel stuck, like when I talked with one of the programmers, he told me, you know, when I feel stuck with the code, I can't figure out how to write it. I leave the computer and I'm going to the billiard room. And usually when I go there, the epiphany occurs and then the solution emerges, right? So we need to take this break to create this space. And in this space, something new will emerge and creativity will evolve. Otherwise, we're doing more of the same. But you know, it's interesting. I love the data that you said. But again, from the mindfulness aspect, the default mode, right? It's also the place where our thoughts comes running in our mind, right? So this the place that we do want to manage it actually, right? Because if we'll be from a mindfulness aspect, there's a research that shows that almost 50% of the awakening time we're in this network mind, right? In our thoughts and thinking in a story that I'm telling ourselves and not in the present moment. So we do want to be able to be mindful to see that the thoughts that run in our mind, but let them go and be present. But I think we need to manage our time. As you said, they said, okay, now I want to take this 10 minutes, 20 minutes walk outside of the office and let this part of my brain space and be creative. And then the epiphany can arise. So I think it's also given space, but also manage it on another level. What do you think about it?
Well, it's interesting time management, isn't it? Because again, certainly in the business world, we're always talking about managing our time. And with my clients, I take a very different approach and less about time management, but much more about energy management. We don't need to manage our time. We need to manage our energy. Because when you're managing your energy, then comes speed and efficiency and focus and flow. And back to then your lifestyle, which is how do you manage energy? I mean, after all, we are energy. We are energetic beings. And that is what is really the driving force between us. And if you get to the real cellular level, it's these little organelles in our bodies called mitochondria. Like, fuel them and feed them, and they'll do for you what you need for your energy. And it's all the simple things, Karen, that we sometimes take for granted, but we don't do. Like, how many people listening truly hydrate well, right? Drinking enough water. Your brain is water. If you don't hydrate, if you're at your desk all day long, and I'm very guilty of this as well, I have to purposefully hydrate. So use, again, we love numbers. We love numbers in business. We're always capturing our KPIs and performance indicators. So use a bit of science. Use some equations, right? You drink 240 mils of water every hour for the first 10 hours after you wake up. That is a formula. There's lots of research behind why that is a really important way to hydrate. Move, right? It's very, very simple. We need to move in order to energize. It's not that movement takes up energy. It creates kinetic energy. We've all done physics at school. We've forgotten our physics from school, but we create kinetic energy by moving, and that energy then fuels you and serves you. Breath work. Again, we talk a lot about breath work, and it's emerging. The science of breath work is emerging. My ancestors did breath work for centuries and centuries and centuries, thousands and thousands of years ago. It's now come over to the West as something that's becoming more scientifically based. And to breathe, oxygenate. Are you really breathing enough? Are you getting the oxygen that your cells need right to that cell level? Because if you're always stressed, and you might not feel it, but always being stressed, breathing up here is non-oxygenating right where you need it. So these are things, when you say take a pause, it's the things in your day-to-day that back to that mindfulness. And another word for that, of course, is awareness. Just raise your own self-awareness about your own biology, about your own physiology. Because I always say this to my clients, and a lot of my clients are business owners and entrepreneurs, is that you're very busy capturing KPIs in your business, your key performance indicators, but are you capturing your KPIs, your key personal performance indicators about your performance. You are your business. You have to capture that data about you and then utilize it, right?
So it always brings us back to ourselves, right? Listening and being attentive to ourselves. Anyway, I'm interested to understand fully the definition of a lifestyle. What do you mean by talking about a lifestyle?
Oh, yeah, it's a very interesting question. What is lifestyle? Well, in very simple terms, it's how you style life. But really, what are those components that make that up? So, I mean, I've looked after over a quarter of a million patients through my career. And, you know, really thinking about those journeys has helped me zone in on what those key elements, what those key modes in lifestyle are that then directly point to health and longevity and wellness. And you'll get to know me, but I love acronyms and I love kind of making things easy for people. So really, there's 10 key components that zone in on your lifestyle. And beautifully, they spell out L-I-F-E-S-T-Y-L-E, lifestyle first. So if you look at L, for me, that spells out life's purpose, because we know that when you have purpose in your day, actually mm-hmm. live longer. People who have purpose live 7.5 years longer than people who don't.
So wow.
Right. I know. Wow. Right. Again, there's fascinating science and research behind this. So I always say to my clients, like, make a point of knowing why your feet are touching the ground every single morning. Why are you doing what you're doing? Really connect with that purpose. I is identity. So again, if you look at your lifestyle, it's about you, your identity, how you show up. Do you know what your values are? And again, when I speak to business owners, they've got all these values in their business, right? They've got all these things that their whole organization is working towards. But do you tune into your values? Do you really, really connect with them? And then we've got FES, food, exercise, sleep. You know, these are core constituents of your lifestyle. And now fundamentally, we know eat well, sleep well, move well. We know this, and yet we don't do it. And so it's so important. Go back to what is core. You know, the core, the root of your life, the root of how you style your life, life purpose, identity, food, exercise, sleep. And then we've already talked about it, time out. What are you doing to take time out? Because we're not designed to go. We're actually designed to oscillate, right? We need cortisol, we need stress hormones, we need activation. And then we also need our parasympathetic peaceful nervous system to kick in. And then we need to go again. So think about that in terms of time out. Why is your connections? Relationships, connecting, we're social beings. If you lose connectivity, genuine, deep, meaningful relationships with people, again, it takes years off your life. Loneliness kills people. It does. Where am I? L-I-F-E-S-T-Y. L is learning habits. We're creatures of habits, right? How much are you doing that's routine, that's serving you? Or are you getting up and going straight onto your emails? Or are you getting up and stepping outside just for a minute, 60 seconds to get the sunlight in your eyes? But then resets your hormones, resets your melatonin, then make sure that you sleep well at night. And then the E is emotions. Again, you know, just we're so driven by our emotion. They put everything into motion for us. So we, again, want to be in charge of those. You don't want to be led by your emotions. You want to be able to lead your emotions, have that emotional agility. And the first thing, of course, is knowing what is motivating you. What is driving you? What is that key human driver inside you? So that is a great question, Karen. So that is what lifestyle is.
Amazing. So, you know, it really resonates with what I do in bringing the mindfulness piece to people and to life into the workplace, because actually what it encompasses all what you said about being mindful to ourselves. So it's the ability to know what I'm experiencing right now. It can be a thought that runs in my mind, an emotion that I'm feeling, and a process that I'm going through in a non-judgmental way and without being managed by it. So as you said, I need to be able to connect to my feelings. So you know what interests me, what surprises me most, that I see that a lot of us don't know to name our feelings. We don't know what we are feeling, right? The emotions. So this is amazes me. As human beings, we're so in our mind, in our head, so we lost connection with our humanity, with our emotions. So I think this is part of the practice of increasing our lifestyle is first of all, connecting to our emotions, to our wants, to our needs, and managing it instead of being managed by our anger, frustration, tiredness. So I think it's the first component of the lifestyle as I see it. And the second thing that resonated within me, yes, I love this, the piece that you said, taking the space and energizing ourselves. So for me, it's like putting fuel in the car, right? We won't be able to drive our car without fuel, right? But we drive our body and our on ourselves without any fuel. So think about what fuels you. Maybe it's seeing a friend for a coffee. Maybe it's going jogging, doing Pilates, whatever. But what makes you alive? What makes you alive? What makes your vividness? And don't push it away, because this is what, as you said, in a counterintuitive, will make us much more productive and efficient, right? And in the workplace, in the day-to-day.
Yeah. Again, so interesting all of this, isn't it? There's a lot of my clients who go through my programs, we do an exercise which is around to do and to be. So, you know, we have to-do lists, right? Things that we need to do, want to do, have to do through the day. How about next to it, you also write a to-be list? How are you going to be when you do the thing that you're doing? Like today, us two having this conversation, like I'm coming here to do this conversation with you, but how do I want to be? Choose my value. I want to be relaxed. I want to be fun. I want to be informative in myself. So choose and then sprinkle that into your day. Even things that you don't like doing, like pulling out the bins. You know, no one wants to pull out the dustbins. It's a mundane task, but how do you want to be when you do it? How much you? Just feel like I'm doing this for a purpose so that the maggots don't pile up in the kitchen. I'm contributing back to, you know, a cleaner environment. How do you want to be? So I think that's a really lovely thing to do, is back to that kind of emotional conversation, is take charge, be purposeful with the emotion, because you get to sprinkle into your day whatever you want to do.
I love it. Put in the intention, right? When I came to this conversation, I always take 5 minutes meditation before and put in intention that it will give value to our listeners, and I will serve our listeners, and, you know, it will be fun, and I also enjoy it. I actually also put an intention to learn something new for myself, because, you know, I believe that if I learn something, others also learn something. So I think this is a crucial element that we don't do usually, right? We come in and doing and having a meeting after meeting back to back, but we're not coming fresh to the situation and managing it. So I really love it.
Absolutely. I mean, my expertise lies in age reversal. And again, picking up on the point you made about emotion, is optimism. So people who are optimistic, who do find the positive, who look at things in a way that is encouraging, empowering, they live longer. Again, 7 years longer. It seems to be a magic number for many things. But if you are positive with your emotions, and that doesn't mean we don't experience negative things. We're meant to feel sad and upset and angry and frustrated, but we also mustn't hold on to those for too long. But if you can be the optimist, think about how you can reframe things, then you're going to be living a longer life. And who doesn't want to live a longer life? We want to be on this amazing planet for as long as possible, doing the incredible things as leaders that you do, right?
I love it. I want to circle back to the beginning that you said from your personal story that in order to deal with the grief, you were really busy till it got you to a point that you couldn't handle it anymore and you hospitalized. It also came to my mind when you spoke that we don't love or like to feel this unpleasant feeling, so we are running from them. But part of being human, it's actually also giving place and space to the unpleasant feeling and letting them be, because only when we create space for them to be, they can transform and we can move forward. Otherwise, we actually make the emotions stuck in our body and we create stuckness in our body and we don't move forward. So as human beings, we don't love this place to be in the unpleasant feelings, but I think it's a must space that we need to embrace and nourish in order to understand that it's part of life. Sometimes we feel happy, sometimes sadness, sometimes anger, and understanding it and not judging it and accepting it and creating the space can really help us to transform and create better lives for ourselves and to nourish and thrive. Because what do you think about it?
Again, I'm just thinking about it as you're saying this in the business space, in the leadership space. And there's a lot of debate, isn't there, around should leaders show their vulnerability? Should leaders express their vulnerability, express their emotions? Or does it mean because you're in a leadership position, you have to exude control and empowerment and positivity? And yet, as you say, we are all human beings. So be human. And I've thought about this quite hard. And I do truly believe that if you express and showcase your vulnerability, regardless of this job title or role that you've carved for yourself or title you've given yourself, what that does is, yes, it takes courage, but what it does is it gives others courage. So other people can then express and share and reach out for help. Because ultimately, you know, I think the business world is one of the most caring places to be. All business leaders do what they do because they want to do something for other people. They care deeply about other people. So having the courage to share your own vulnerability allows you to care as well. So I think, again, this is a really important conversation to have within organizations, or really look at your own kind of leadership skills and positioning from that perspective, and not be afraid to do that.
It requires courage. I agree with you. And yes, it's needed nowadays. And actually, as I see, this is the kind of the new leadership, to show up as human beings, to show up fully and sometimes not to know the answers, and to show up vulnerable and to show that I don't know, have a coherent picture about what's going to happen, but I'm asking you and advising you. So yes, this is part of practicing, and it's not easy. From my experience, it's not easy for us to be vulnerable, and it's something that we need to practice and nourish. Elka, before we need to wrap up, I do want to ask you, I know that you ran the marathon lately, right? And I'm curious to hear how mindfulness helps you achieve this goal, and what leaders can learn from this in to lead their own companies from this perspective. So,
oh yes, 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 I did. I ran the London Marathon 2023, so that's 26.2 miles. I remember it very, very well. And you know, by definition, I never identified as a runner. It's not something that I lead with as being a runner. So for me, this was really for me an opportunity to see what I was capable of. Like, what could I do? Was this even possible? You know, there's a whole conversation around human potential. How do we know what we're capable of unless we actually try and do the things that we think we're not capable of? And suddenly the impossible becomes possible, right? And we see examples of this all the time. But during the run, I 100% tapped into mindfulness. I tapped into my own self-awareness. And the beauty of that really lay with my five senses. So, and again, we've got these at our fingertips all the time, and we don't tune into them. So as the miles got harder and harder, you know, 1 mile, I was like, right, all I'm going to do is focus on everything that I can hear, everything that I can hear. And I was hearing the birds, and I was hearing the people's feet pounding on the earth, and I was hearing the sounds of people running past me, and all these sounds, the bands in the background, the crowds cheering. And these sounds, because I could tune into them, they fueled me. I became aware. Next mile, right? Everything that I can see. So raising that awareness, it again becomes its own gift for motivation and drive. And things become easier when you become aware. Being mindful of your feelings, you alluded to this earlier, is that sometimes we don't even know how to name our feelings because we're not so aware. So how did I feel during that run? I thought about my father a lot during that time. I also felt incredibly grateful for all the people that had just turned up and the crowds. And I think, you know, when you translate this into all sorts of roles, there's so much to be learned from running and from running the marathon and from being aware. And you can translate this directly into any environment, your working environment, the meetings that you go into, is raising that self-awareness of, just start with your five senses. And when you find yourself drifting off to where you don't need to be, that, you know, that land of the what if I can't finish this race? What if this meeting doesn't get to plan? What if I don't get that next deal? All those anxieties and stresses you create by your own what if, and it hasn't even happened yet, use self-awareness, use mindfulness, use your five senses to bring yourself back to here. Right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I do this all the time with my clients. Just think about 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can taste, 1 thing you can smell, and you're back, because your five senses can only function in the present. They're here right now. And, you know, I think even if we use this simple tool in our everyday, it keeps us present. It keeps us grounded, because I think presence is a present. It's a gift, right? Our greatest gift is to be exactly where we're meant to be.
I love it. And when we're present, we can bring our present to the world, right? So this is amazing. And yes, you talked about what we talked before that, about the wandering mind, right? Our mind wanders, and we want to bring our attention to the here and now. And this is versus the ability to pause and really let our mind wanders and be creative and innovative. So we need to balance between them, decide how to manage it. I like it. Thank you very much. Elka, I can continue for hours, but we need to wrap up. So before we wrap up, is there any question that I didn't ask you and you want to share with our listeners?
Not particularly a question, Karen. I think perhaps maybe just leaving listeners with just a statement to really, really think about. And one of my key statements that, you know, really resonates, and I think it's important for people just to spend a pause, maybe after listening to this episode, just to think about this one thing, which is, if you don't have time for your health today, you won't have health for your time tomorrow.
I love it. Thank you very much. Dr. Elka Patel, if people want to approach you, where can they find you?
Yes, I am very, very approachable. I love to have conversations. You can book conversations with me. We can hop on kind of one-on-one calls. So if you head over to my website, which is dralkapatel.com, there, and just there's a contact me page, you can get on a chat with me. I'm also on all the social media as well. So message me as well, Dr. Alka Patel UK. I answer all of my own messages as well. I have regular masterclasses and virtual events that run. So if I can share those links with you, Karen, as well, maybe you can share those with the listeners as well to be able to reach out to me through that as well. So, yeah.
Eka, thank you very much for your great work. Keep on the great work. It's needed in the world. And it was a pleasure having this conversation with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Karen.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation. You're invited to subscribe to our podcast in order to know when we upload a new episode and follow us on social media. Thank you for listening. Until next time, take care and bye-bye.